present the House of the Spirit Levels by Nick Revel. Episode 3, Mum, Will You Please Shut Up Now You're Dead?
Good evening. Drinking himself to death in the corner of my humble yet homely cantina, which incidentally offers picturesque views of the mighty Chandis and a modish but highly acceptable accommodation at very competitive prices. See page 973 of CFAX for details. Is the hero of our tale, Signor Tony Arstaff. Tony is the black sheep of a wealthy family of Yorkshire industrialists, so ruthless their behaviour has been known to induce sincere moral homilies from Colombian drug barons. Tony's father's greed is matched only by his willpower. He has reached the age of 183 purely to win a bet with a business rival on who would be first to die. Latterly, Tony has been living destitute in St. Petersburg until he wins a fortune playing snap. Then, thanks to his Acme one-size-fits-all Daniel Day-Lewis mask, he meets femme fatale Natasha Filipovna and wins her hand. Not to mention other parts of her anatomy, eh? Then, caught in flagrante by her gangster boyfriend, Tony is lucky not to lose parts of his own, I tell you. He is forced to return home, and he throws himself on the mercy of his family, who all hate him as much as he hates them.
Come on, boy. Do your job, damn you!
Dad, why are you waving your pocket watch in front of the spaniel?
I'm trying to put it into a trance, of course.
Why?
The dog is a spirit guide. Your mother used him to talk to Mrs. Womersley, the housekeeper, after Mrs. Womersley skateboarded off the viaduct. Go on, fetch boy. Fetch your mistress.
Oh, that's very touching.
What is?
Well, that you miss mother so much that you...
Miss her? How dare you, sir? How dare you impute such effeminate metropolitan sensibilities to me? Strictly business. Now, your mother was about to reveal a valuable secret pertaining to Sir Keith the Spaniel here. A secret of great commercial value.
What was it?
We don't know, do we? Because just when she was about to tell us, you walked through the door and she dropped dead of sorrow.
Sorry.
Oh, go on, fetch, boy. Go fetch your mistress from the spirit world. You are feeling sleepy. Great Scott, his breath smells as if the dead of centuries reside in his very mouth. Not your words, not your noxious odours of decay. Ah, look, look, he's writhing.
Yeah, I think he wants you to rub his belly, Dad.
Oh, for goodness sake, Obadiah, leave the dog alone.
Alice! Mother?
You're still here, are you?
There's no need to be like that.
Oh, being killed by her own firstborn son is the kind of thing a mother should just take in her stride, I suppose.
All I did was say hello to you.
Right, all right, let's get down to business, Alice. What was the secret you were about to reveal to us?
Oh, that's very nice, isn't it, Mrs. Hardstaff? Not a word of asking how you are, nor nothing.
Mrs. Womersley, you here as well?
I belong in this house, Master Tony. I was housekeeper 60 years in life. I see no reason why a little matter like death should divide me from my duties. And if you must drink tea in the drawing room, put a mat under that mug. It'll mark the wood.
What of the secret, woman? The secret of Sir Keith the Spaniel?
All in good time. Oh. First, I have a few questions. Tony, what are you all dressed up like that for? The funeral's not till Tuesday.
I'm going to pay my respects to Emily Earnshaw.
What do you mean, pay your respects?
Dad's just died, Dad.
He's hoping to catch her while she's vulnerable and get his leg over.
Oh, typical hard stuff.
Indeed.
I will never be a typical hard stuff. I can rise above the shallow rapaciousness of your nature and live by a higher, nobler moral code. Goodbye.
Now, Mr. Hardstaff, I take it you have your reasons for allowing your wife's killer to sleep under your roof. I know Jane's very upset about it.
Well, there you are, then. Don't you remember all the fun we had playing them off against each other when they were kids?
Well, it better hadn't affect her planning of my funeral, or you'll never hear the secret of Sir Keith.
Confound you, of course it'll be a nice funeral, I give you my word. Don't you trust me?
Of course she doesn't.
Come on, Mrs. Womersley.
Is that it? Surely you can leave me some shred of useful information.
I've got one. This whole place needs a good hoovering.
Ye gods!
You're up early, Jane, love?
I haven't been to bed, Jeff.
Couldn't sleep for the grief. How about some tranquilizers?
It's not grief, Jeff. I've been working.
That's you all over, love. Immersing yourself in work to kill the pain of losing your mother.
Yeah. No, I've been working on the copy for the new holiday centre. What do you think?
Experience firsthand the romantic England of the period costume period. The land of the Brontes, Jane Austen, Robin Hood and Emma Thompson. The Yorkshire Moors experience contained in an air-conditioned luxury weather dome. Dig your own coal from the pit face facilities. Yes.
And you see, with me mum dying, we can turn the funeral into a promotional video. Dress all the mourners in period costume. Hire a helicopter for the panoramic shots.
Does that mean you'll be giving Tony a percentage for making it happen?
I'll thank you not to mention his name in this house. And anyway, you've got other things to think about. We still need planning permission from Councillor Jeffreys.
Well, I'm due on the first D with him at 9.
Good. Now, listen, don't mention the building plans to Joanna. With her going through this ecology phase of hers, she might get upset.
Who might get upset?
Anyway, I'll be late. Bye.
Joanna, now you're up. I want you to help me with preparations for the funeral.
Oh, what's the big deal about a funeral? You just sling the stiff in an hole and they rot.
Look, love, it's a great chance to promote the family company, Hardstaffs. And when they put one of their own to rest, it's with all the pomp and circumstance of royalty. So, come on, there's lots of phone calls to make.
It's really important to you, isn't it?
Your grandma's funeral is going to be the greatest event this town has seen since Geoffrey Boycott used the gentleman's toilet in the Red Lion.
Must be costing a bob or two.
A bob or two? We're hiring Barbara Cartland's makeup artist to lay her out. That's costing an arm and a leg for a start-off. But for this, money's no object.
Money's no object?
It's my mother's funeral. I know you'd do the same for me.
Yeah, of course I would. OK, I'll help you.
Thanks, love.
Can I have the keys to the Jeep?
What, now?
I've got to go out.
But...
I'm going to get a manicure. There's no way I'm spending all day on the phone without some serious nail protection.
Hello, Emily.
Tony. Hello, it's been a long time.
Hi. Sorry to hear about your dad.
Well, you better come in.
Thank you. When's his funeral?
There isn't one, but the taxidermists have done a wonderful job. Come on, I'll show you.
No, that's all right.
Well, you want a cup of tea, don't you?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Well, then, he's in the kitchen.
Oh, right. Yes, they have done a good job, haven't they? Lovely glass case.
Yes. It lights up at night, look.
Very classy. Where are you going to keep him?
Here.
In the kitchen?
Yes, but we're negotiating to lease him out as a display dummy.
That's novel.
Well... he may have been one of the most powerful industrial magnates in West Yorkshire for over 100 years, but deep down, all he ever wanted to be was a male model. There just weren't the openings when he was a lad. In those days, if you were born into the new industrial bourgeoisie, it was either become an opium addict or oppress the masses for profit and sport. He wasn't a bad man, Tony. He was a victim of social forces.
Hey, now, come on, that's all right. It's hey, come on, look. I brought you these flowers.
Oh, thank you. Daffodils are my favourite. Oh, delicious. Thank you. I'll put them in water and save the rest for later.
Right.
Sugar?
Yes, love?
No, I meant, did you want sugar in your tea?
Oh, sorry, right, yes. No, I mean, no, thank you, sorry.
What?
Well, it's silly, but I suddenly started thinking about us. But there's a lot of water under the bridge since then. It's daft.
It's quite understandable. Here we are drinking tea in the kitchen just like we used to. Nervous of the lurking presence of my dad, whose embalmed corpse now sits in the corner, reeking of formaldehyde. It's bound to give you a romantic tremble.
It was good what we had.
Is that why he disappeared overnight without a word, then?
Emily...
It's okay, I understand. You were too busy becoming a rock and roll star.
No need to be sarcastic.
I wasn't.
So, what have you been doing with yourself?
Oh, ministering to the poor as befits my station. Taking them pies, fish suppers, chocolate yo-yos, that kind of thing.
What about your spare time?
I spend it in solitude, Tony. Out on the moors, composing verse, communing with the primal state of nature. It's so wild and free on the moors, Tony. We should go up there later and be wild and free and unbound by the constraints of society. Milk.
Yes, please. You never married then?
Who would I marry but you, Tony Hardstaff? I knew you'd come back someday. Many's the night when I've heard your voice carried to me by the wind across the moor. Don't worry, Emily, love, I'll come back for you someday. I'm off for a kebab just now, but I'll be back someday.
Oh, I?
Yes, and many a night I've heard you scratching on my window pane to be let in. I've always said you'd come back, Tony, to anyone who's ever asked, and to quite a few that never did. And they'd say about me, she's stark staring bonkers, that Emily Earnshaw, ravishingly beautiful with her blonde ringlets and her steely blue eyes and a lithe and handsome figure, but definitely several ferrets short of a trouserful. But I vowed I'd prove them wrong, that you'd prove them wrong.
Emily.
What say we go for a walk on the moors this moment, like the old days?
Why not? The fresh air might do you might do us good.
Good shot, Councillor.
Oh, thank you. Oof. Hey, I've never used one of these golf carts before. They're quite snazzy, aren't they? Oh, by the way, sorry to hear about your mother-in-law.
Aye, well, we're dealing with it as best we can.
And it was in the middle of Sunday lunch?
Yes, just after the roast beef.
Well, that's something, I suppose. At least she died with a good square British meal inside her. Was it a heart attack?
Yes.
I understand your brother-in-law is home for the funeral.
In fact, it was Tony's arrival that prompted the heart attack. They never really got on.
That's Mrs. Hardstaff. Never hid what she thought of folk.
True. Now, I think my ball went in the bushes somewhere here. Mm. Could you give me a hand, Councillor?
Surely. Oh, what's this?
Oh, yes. It looks like one of those new state-of-the-art digital televisions.
Well, what's it doing out here, still in box?
Who knows? Stealth finders, keepers. Look at you, Councillor. I'll give you a hand to put it on the cart.
Oh, right. Thanks.
Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Joanna.
That's Miss Grimthwaite to you. I'm well-bred gentry.
Oh, aye. And that's what well-bred gentry girls do, is it? Gyrate their bellies at funeral directors.
Concentrate on my navel stud.
I'll do me best.
You are feeling very sleepy. You will remember nothing. You will help me get my grandmother's corpse into the jeep. Help me conceal it. And you will only wake up when your mates come back from the pub.
Good heavens, what's this?
Oh, looks like an envelope, Councillor.
Two open return tickets to Barbados. In my name!
Blimey! It certainly is your lucky day, Councillor. What, with the television and the fridge freezing, the microwave? Ah. Oh, found me ball.
That's right, a helicopter for panoramic shots.
Hello, Mum, I'm back.
Oh, about time, too. Are you still there? Good. If Robbie Coltrane won't wear the Friar Tuck costume, then I want someone who looks more like Hugh Grant. I'll have to go. There's someone at the door.
Yes, officer?
Sorry to bother you at such a delicate time, Mrs. Grimthwaite, but there's trouble at Mills.
Trouble at Mills? We don't own any Mills. What's it got to do with me?
No, I mean trouble at Mills, the funeral directors. Your mother's been kidnapped. We found a ransom note.
father's corpse, unless we get £500,000 by this time tomorrow, there will be no funeral, and it will be the worse for her. Signed, Burke and Hare.
So there's no need to worry.
That's my grandmother you're talking about.
No, they've inadvertently told us exactly who they are at the end there. See? Signed, Burke and Hare. We'll have them nicked in no time.
Burke and Hare were body snatchers in the 18th century.
Oh. So have you any idea who might be behind it, then? Our other thought was it might be someone who could do with an extra £500,000.
That narrows it down a bit.
Well, it must be someone who bears a grudge against our family.
That narrows it down too.
Oh, shut up, Joanna.
She's right, though. Everyone hates your family round here. Don't stare at me like that, Mrs. Grimthwaite. I don't hate you, obviously.
But where do they want the money leaving?
It doesn't say.
So they're going to get in contact again?
It doesn't do to rely on that kind of speculation.
Oh, it's not speculation. If they want the money and they haven't said where to leave it, well, that means they're going to get back in touch again.
Have you been trained in police methods, Mrs. Grant?
No!
Well, I tell you, then, you're a natural for it. Well, I'll be off.
Oh, Joanna, what are we going to do?
Oh, Tony, it's grand up here on the tops, isn't it?
Anywhere's grand with you, Emily.
There's something so primal and elemental about the rushing wind and the cry of the curlew and the ancient splendour of the rocks and the pissing rain, don't you think?
Aye, Emily, there is.
But, Tony, what's wrong? A frowning shadow of self-doubt draws across your craggy features.
Well, I was just wondering, what would you like to do for a living, if you had the chance of anything at all? Or do you have enough capital for us both to live on forever without working?
Not really.
Oh.
What would I like to do? Well, like I say, commune with the primal forces of nature up here on the tops. That and run a fish shop.
A fish shop?
Yeah, you know, a fish and chip shop. Not just fish and chips, but saveloys, pies, pot, pickled eggs, peas, conferring the bounties of nature onto the indigenous population in a form they understand, for a profit, naturally. But it's more than that. Most of all, I suppose I've always loved the smell of boiling chip fat.
Right.
Can you feel my heart, Tony? Come, give me your hand. Feel it now. Beating like a caged bird, struggling to fly unbounded into the open sky of freedom, which is your love.
Yeah, I can, yeah. That's exactly what it feels like, yeah. Emily.
Tony.
That's what we'll do, Emily. We'll start a fish and chip shop and commune with nature every spare hour God sends.
Oh, Tony, you make me so happy. But what about your dreams? Will it be enough for you working in a chip shop when originally you'd set out to be the new Kajagoogoo?
My dreams are to love you and make you happy, Emily.
Oh, Tony! You're not just saying that to get a leg over, are you?
No, of course not. God, Emily, you look gorgeous in that cagoule.
Is it the way the wind wraps it fleetingly around the lissom contours of my nubile frame? The glimpse of a passionate, red-blooded, firm yet yielding female form, there for an instant and the next replaced by a sagging billow of orange plastic?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Kiss me, Tony. Kiss me.
Oh, Emily.
Oh, Tony, take me, Tony, take me. Consummate our passion now, here. This clump of damp bracken will be our bed. Take me amongst the desolate beauty of the heather and the sheep's droppings and the empty coke cans.
It's a bit chilly to get our kit off, isn't it?
I've got my crotchless hiking trousers on. Yes, Tony, yes. But as I was saying, the standard of fast food round here is scandalous. Oh, yes, yes. Crappy chains, crappy ingredients, it's shameful. Oh, my love. And my mission in life, yes, is to get takeaways round here back to what they should be. Come on, get your trousers off. And after, I'll take you into town and show you what I mean.
Oh, Emily.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
well, Councillor. Cheers. You had a good round, didn't you?
You beat me 6-5.
Aye, but all the stuff you found. A telly, tickets to Barbados, microwave, keys to that BMW in the car park insured in your name. Every time I lost a ball in the bushes, you seemed to get another free gift.
I did.
Well, let's go and have a drink.
Right. I understand you wanted to have a chat about planning permission for the moorland you've just inherited from the Earnshaws.
Aye.
Joanna, we're going to have to break this to Grandad very gently, or the shock might kill him, OK?
OK. Hello, Grandad. Guess what? My grandma's corpse has been stolen and the police can't find the kidnappers and the ransom's £500,000 to be paid into a Swiss bank account tonight.
Joanna!
£500,000 for a dead body? Stuff that. Just fill the coffin with spuds. No one will be any the wiser.
But, Grandad, if we did that, the kidnapper would simply reveal the whereabouts of the body and make us all look really bad. Maybe.
Oh, aye, good point.
I'll tell you this, Obadiah. If you don't pay the ransom, I'll never leave you alone.
Mother! But...
Back again!
If you don't get my body back to put in the ground in a dignified way, you'll never learn the secret of Sir Keith.
Oh, you drive a hard bargain, woman. Hey, Jane, what's up with you?
That's Mrs. Womersley and my mother, and they're both dead.
Oh, stop looking so gobsmacked. It's only the supernatural. Now, come on, we've money to transfer to Switzerland.
Yes! Joanna, you all right? You've come over all flushed.
Oh, I'm fine. It's the emotional trauma of it all. I think I'll head home if that's okay. Get an early night.
Yes, you do that, love. I'll not be long behind you. And Joanna, thanks for all your work today. I don't know what I'd have done without you.
Oh, it was nothing. Bye. Yes!
I've just had a thought. Perhaps we could get the bank in Switzerland to tell us who opened the account.
You have problems believing in ghosts, and yet you're prepared to countenance Swiss bankers helping to catch international criminals. Just what planet did you grow up on?
See what I mean, Tony? These burgers are terrible. You know what they were fried in? I'll tell you. Rancid tallow, at least a month old.
Emily, you've convinced me. There's a gap in the market. Tell me, did we really have to bring your dad with us?
He's as much right to a trip out as anyone.
But Emily, my love, he's dead.
So? One law for your family and one for everyone else's, is that it?
What are you talking about?
Well, that's your mother behind the counter, isn't it?
Good heavens, you're right. Oh, you, lad, who's in charge here? Do you realise there's a dead body propped up over there by the milkshake machine?
Oh, they're all dead bodies, except me. They've been here since the nurse's Christmas party.
What?
The police said they'd be around when they could, but they've right stretched, you know, so Bloke said to keep them in the fridge and fetch them out during the day to see if anyone claimed them. One of them got promoted to the week.
Well, I'm claiming that one. She's my mother.
She hasn't been here long. She's only got one star on her collar, look.
Well, give me a hand. Emily, come on.
I'll not cross this threshold, Tony. I'll not betray my father's memory by setting foot in your father's house.
Mother? Tony, I thought as much.
We found her in the burger bar.
We?
Emily and I.
So, you've taken up again with Miss Diaphanous Cranium 1983, have you?
Sure, a wicked piece of work Jane Hardstaff as was.
That's right, and I could punch your lights out as soon as look at you. You outpatient.
Who's that you've got with you, lurking in the shadows? Good grief, it's Jacob Earnshaw.
Aye, it's my father, and we take care of the dead in my family. Look. That's quality embalming, is that? And he's his own glass case at home that lights up at night. And he's got his own bus pass.
Well, Tony, take it all back. I hope you'll be very happy, the three of you.
You're a sick woman, Jane.
Oh, that's rich coming from you. Kidnapping your own mother and then having the effrontery to bring her back in person once the ransom was paid. Jeff, call the police.
Don't be ridiculous.
Hey, it's just like old times, watching the two of them tearing away at each other.
Jeff! Call Councillor Jeffreys, JP and all.
But why would I bring her back home if I'd kidnapped her?
We had enough trouble getting her on the bus.
Save it for the judge.
This is all highly irregular. Conducting a kidnapping trial in the private home of the victim at midnight.
Councillor, we could always make the tickets to Barbados Club Class.
Prisoner is guilty as charged. I sentence you to 7 years. Take him down.
This is not justice.
I'm innocent.
I know you're innocent, Tony. I'll see the truth come to light one day.
And there she goes, off across the moors like a demented goat with her embalmed father slung across her shoulder.
Yes, you have to say, she's very strong for such a slip of a girl.
Well, shouldn't we have banged her up too?
No, more trouble than it's worth, and besides, if she runs a campaign to get him released, who's going to take it seriously?
Don't worry, Tony. I'll see the truth well out. I'll set you free. Look at me, Tony. Remember me this way, silhouetted by the harvest moon, defiant and alone on Ludolf Crag. And don't forget, our love makes you free, even now. Even if you do spend the rest of your life banged up in a narrow cell with nary a glimpse of light of day. For I will carry you with me in my heart across the broad moor, every waking hour and sleeping too. I shall write poems to you and declaim your name to the open skies.
Yeah, that's all very nice, love, but write to Paul Foot.
Get in the van, Tony.
Mind your poor foot. Even in his hour of need, his first thought was my verrucas. And I never even told him. He just knew. I love you, Tony. Tony.
The House of the Spirit Levels by Nick Revel starred David Swift, Maggie Steed, Alison Steadman, Peter Gunn, Claire Skinner, Natalie Walter, Peter Serafinowicz, Joanna Brooks and Nick Revel. The music was composed by Paul Mottram and the producer was Paul Schlesinger. Thank you.